Okay, hope everyone is doing well. We're going to start another exploration of Tiferes Shimshon Be'er Shimshon Pinchas on the Parsha. Very, very beautiful Parsha this week. Beginning to learn a lot about Avraham Avinu. And in the middle of the Parsha, it says that Avram heard that his nephew, Light, was taken captive by the four kings, the very powerful four kings. And he prepared his lads, the people who grew up in his house, he prepared his army. He chased them down to Dan in order to retrieve, to save Light. So Pinchas says, Kasher Nashba Light b'milchama, when he was taken captive, very current event, ripped from the headlines, Yachal haya Avram avinu lahatzel ha'isai b'lvad, u'lahasher es anshei sadayim b'shvi. What Avram Avinu could have easily done was to save the to save Light, and to leave the Anshei Sadaim in captivity. What happened? Light was taken captive, and also many people from Sadaim. And then when Avram Avinu chased after them, he saved not only Light, but also all the people, all the captives that were Sadaim. He didn't have to do that. He saved them, and he saved everything that was owned by them. Zeis al afa uvdash anshe sadaim hayu ayvav ha'amitim shal Avram Avinu snuei nafshay. Who were these people in Sadaim? These people were not friends of Avram Avinu. They weren't in any way fans of Avram Avinu. They were Avram Avinu's mortal enemies. They wanted to do Avram Avinu in. They were the polar opposite in terms of hashkafa, in terms of midas, in terms of Hanhagas Achayim, everything. If you take a picture of Avram Avinu and you do the negative of that, that's Sadaim. So did Avram Avinu really need to go out of his way to save them? Shai Avram Avinu hayish haChesed umuflag b'achnas zarchem. Who was Avram Avinu? He was the man of Chesed. He was amazing at achnasas archem. That was his specialty. V'ilu l'umasai anshe Sadaim. They uprooted every vestige of Gemilas Chassadim. They didn't want anything to do with Gemilas Chassadim. So much so that they would kill somebody that gave even a little piece of bread to an ani. That was part of their charter. That was part of their constitution. If anyone would provide any hospitality to any guest that dared visit Sadaim, they would be killed. And despite how opposite Anshei Sadaim was, how completely on the other side of the world, of the universe, was Anshei Sadaim, Avraham Avinu went out of his way to save them from captivity. Amazing. Kach gam kasher haydiu HaKadosh Baruch Hu shehoilechu lapecha Sadaim. Similarly, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will tell Avraham Avinu that he's going to overturn the city of Sadaim, what would you do? I'd say, okay, good luck with that. That's good news. Good idea, God. Go for it. But what did he do, Avraham Avinu? He advocated on their behalf. Hispal Avraham Tfilos Aruchais V'amad V'hiftzeru V'kesh. He begged HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bavor Mi, again, for whom? Bavor Oivav HaGedayim, his mortal enemies, Rishay Sadaim, the Risham of Sadaim. So that's quite fascinating what what Rapinkus observes about Avraham Avinu, how he was literally able to go out of his way to save and to try to rescue the most vile creatures in the universe. Avraham Avinu really probably in his heart of hearts felt no personal affinity towards them, but he went out of his way to try to save them. Le'uma Zeis, and contrast that with Bilam HaRasha. He was a prophet for profit. He was hired to destroy Maya for some money. Lakach al atzme es ha-mesimagdeh lakaris am Yisrael kulay. Rachman al-etzan avo bishlei pagubay v'leiro la-ma'uma. He didn't have anything, he didn't have any beef with Klal Yisrael. Doesn't matter. He was hired to do it and he had no problem doing it. Ukfar amr shem ha-melech al-vashom gam enesh l'tzadik l'taiv. Ukamei shepir shu chazal shah gam shabidei ha-tzadikim ligram ayinshim l'rishayim. Many times a tzaddik has the ability to do really bad to Rishon. Could do a lot of damage to Rishon, but they don't. El Adra Mispalalim, what do? They go the opposite, and they're Mispalal for them. The Imbechol Zeis Hayunan Nashim and Hashemayim, it's true that the Rishon are going to get their comeuppance in Shemayim, or from Shemayim. It's Tara Kach Ma'ayd, Ukmei Shemar David Melech Ha'ayva, Avdayig Vachitev Shayu. Ayve Hashem be'emes, they were haters of Hashem. V'ani b'chal leisam levushei saka nisa b'tzayim nafshi. She yitzam mispal lebriyosam shal ayvav shiradfu achrav laharga. He went out of his way, David HaMelech, and he davened that they should have good health when they were sick, when they were chasing after him to kill him. Amazing. He went and davened for his enemies that are trying to kill him. V'chol zel lamdenu. And what do we take from this? What's the takeaway from this night? As hanhagasa shel Avraham Avinu, the hanhaga of Avraham Avinu, sheniyah nachnu talmidav, that we are supposed to follow in the footsteps of Avraham Avinu, v'neilch b'drachav. V'loikem ha'shakar l'famim, shekol misha garam lanu, eze tzar, v'kol shken hefzer amiti, if somebody causes us a little tzar, and certainly if they cause us a lot of damage, what happens? If somebody steps on our toe accidentally, or if somebody wasn't perfectly nice to us, and they didn't invite us to their wedding, or they didn't, whatever it was, they didn't give us a nice good Shabbos, we have it in for them, right? We want to literally become their real enemies and not be nice to them, and maybe make a click against them. But that's not what Avraham Avinu teaches us. We're supposed to learn how to behave from Avraham Avinu. Loizu darkam shel tzaddikim. That's not how tzaddikim. Now, this is a very hard thing because a human being is a human being. And it's very hard if somebody does something wrong to us that we don't want to take some form of vengeance or revenge against them. Somebody's not nice to me, I'm not going to be super nice to them. And even if it's, you know, I'm not necessarily so mean that I'm going to actually, do something diabolical against them and scheme against them. But at least passive aggressive, I'll be. I'm not gonna like kiss up to them. I'm not gonna be super friendly to them. And if they stultz me out, if they like ignore me, I'll just ignore them. Isn't that the natural way to deal with people? But tzaddikim gemurim, he says, is not the way. This is not how they behave. One of the great Gedele Elam said, Shaba Echad Lufanov, Vamra Plenishes Tach Sech Imai. There was a certain person that was causing friction. He had a sichslich with him. Hahu Rasha Umitzel Lakaivrei. He said, that guy's a Rasha, and it's a mitzvah to bury him. So Amr Leharav, so the rabbi said to him, Devarecha Nagdim Eshevi HaTorah, your words go against the Torah. Klal Yisrael needed the mitzvah of Karban Pesach and the mitzvah of Mila in order to be freed from Mitzrayim. We were naked of mitzvahs. We had no mitzvahs going for us. When did this whole thing happen? By Makas Cheshach. Sheba Mesa Risha Yisrael. Then many Risham and Klal Yisrael died during Makas Cheshach. Sharatz Lassim Yisrael. They didn't want to leave a Kavram Yisrael. And what happened? Klal Yisrael went and buried them. V'chiyein mitzvah zu mesapek shigal v'schuetz. I thought it was such a big mitzvah to bury Rishayim. Look, Klal Yisrael buried millions of Risham during Makas Cheshach and it still didn't help. They still needed the mitzvah of Karban Pesach and Mila. This mitzvah that we feel sometimes that we have, I'm going to bury this guy. I'm going to kill this guy. This guy has no right to live after what he did to me. And we go to town against them. We rally against them. Obviously, this is not a real mitzvah to go and want to bury another person. Obviously, it doesn't mean it literally. It means figuratively, like to go and do another person in. Darcheim shel tzaddikim. What is the way of tzaddikim? Talmidei Avraham Avinu. We have to all become talmidim Avraham Avinu. L'smayach tam b'tayvasa shel kol baria. And to always be happy when somebody else has a good. V'chasher adam reyes ha'holchem derech harishayim. Tzarech l'spalem shafsu b'tshuvah. When we see somebody that's let's say, going off the derech, what do? Do we bury that person? Do we talk Lashon Hara about that person and say that he's not, he's causing his parents so much pain, he's doing this, and he doesn't care about his rabbeim, he doesn't care about his friends, he's just gone. No, we can't do that. We have to daven for this person that he should do tshuva. The afsha chayav limchais b'tkifas al maiseim haroim, even though it's true that you have to, when people do some bad stuff, there's a mitzvah to make a macha, and you have to be strong about it. If you see something wrong going down, you got to protest. But never be happy when you see the downfall of another yid, and not to daven, of course, for that they should have a bad ending or that they should meet with problems. Person should have a good eye towards every single creature of Hashem. There's one of the famous svarim, one of the great Musar classics, is called Taimer Devara. Anyone know who wrote the Taimer Devara?
Moshe
Kadavera. Excellent, Moshe Kadavera. Why'd your face light up? You're a big fan? Very good. I thought it was Mikhail Kamaicha. Excellent. So the Ramak, Ramesha Kardavera, was one of the great tzaddikim, the great Mekubalim of Tzvas. And he has a classic sefer, a classic Musar sefer called Taimer Devara, the date tree, the date palm of Devara. And it's one of the, like Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, I think, held that it was one of the primary Musar works. And a lot of people learn Taimer Devara by Musar Seder. It's one of the major pillars of Musar. And at the beginning, he basically goes through the Yud Gimel Midas. Now, when I say Yud Gimel Midas, what do you think of? Hashem Hashem, Terachem Mechanan, right? But there's another Yud Gimel Midas that's in which Sefer? Where? We say it in Tashla, but where is it from? Which Sefer in Tanakh? Micha. Who said that?
Micha.
Excellent. The end of Micha. Very good. The end of Micha is Mikel Kamaicha, Naisei Pesha, Naisei Pesha, L'Sheres Nachalasai. Right. Keep going. There's more to it. Okay. So you don't need to bring a machzor to Tashlich, I guess. These are 13 midas that different midas. Some of them there is overlap, of course, with Hashem Hashem, but it's a different set of midas. And the Ramak describes in great detail each of these midas of Mikael Kamecha, Naisei Avin, Avraham Pesha, etc., and how we're supposed to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu through these unique midas. So the first of the midas is Mikael Kamecha. Who is like you, Hashem? What does it mean, who is like you, Hashem? So Ramak says, you know what this means? There is no other king in the universe that could ever do what Hashem does. Hashem is a melech, soivel, elbein. What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu absorbs and takes humiliation. Do you think that any king in the world, any president, any prime minister, no one does that? If you can't go and insult a president, you can't, they're very thin-skinned and they're going to be very upset about it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a king who's Saivel Elban, he's able to be embarrassed and humiliated and be Saivel it. He holds his fire. He doesn't do anything back to the person. He obviously, eventually, if the person doesn't do tshuva, then Hashem will move in and punish the person. But he gives him plenty of time to be able to do tshuva, and he doesn't respond in real time. An example that he gives is, let's say a person is watching something with his eyes that is usher to watch. Okay, so you're watching a movie that's very, very inappropriate, and you're using your, and it goes against Hashem. Hashem doesn't want us to do that. Or let's say we're reading a book of Kfira and Minos going against Hashem. Now, who's giving you the ability every second to read the book or to see the movie? Who's doing that? Hashem. Every second that we're able to see should not be taken for granted. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is renewing at least second by second, millisecond by millisecond, that I'm allowing you to see, says Hashem. And what are you using your eyes for? You're using your eyes to go against him. Now, if this was a human king, he would immediately take away the eyesight, Rahman al-Islam, because you're using the gift that I gave you to go against me, to rebel against me. I'm not going to keep on fueling this. I'm not going to keep on providing the energy and the ability for you to see things that I don't want you to see. Or listen to things that I don't want you to listen to, and I'm allowing you to hear every second. I'm allowing you to talk. You're speaking Lashon Hara. I could theoretically stop you right away from having the ability to speak. I should pull the plug on your whole life for that matter. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Melech Saivel Elban. He takes it and he doesn't immediately give it back. He's very patient. There's a Pirush on the Talmud Devarim, there's a few perushim, but one of the, in my opinion, the best one is called V'alachta B'drachav. It's written by the Rosh Yeshiva of Tells Cleveland. His name is Reb David Goldberg. I once had the pleasure of sitting next to Medachasna, and we were talking a lot in learning because I'm a big fan of his svarim, and I was like going through some of his best pieces. A brilliant man, and he writes on the bottom there in Talmud Devarim that an example of a human being that acts like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that follows the Talmud Devarim's advice, that we're supposed to, you know, emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this regard, that even though you're doing something really bad to Hashem, Hashem doesn't repay it, but actually what he does, he gives you good. He gives you good instead of your bad. You're doing bad, you're using your eyes for something you shouldn't, and instead he gives you the ability to continue seeing. So he says that if you look in the Svarim of one of the Talmidim of Yisrael Salanter, he describes his Rebbe as being a person who followed this Talmud Devarim, in that he would always go out of his way to do something really good for somebody that did something really bad to him. So one of the famous stories about Rishol Salanter is that Rishol Salanter used to smoke. I don't know if he smoked a pipe or a cigar or both, but he smoked. And he was sitting in a train car, and he was smoking. And the other person started really, as a Jew, in the car with him, and he was starting screaming at him, you know, how could you do this to me, it's annoying, put out that cigar. And of course, Rishol Salanter immediately did, but he wasn't acting very nice. In the whole train ride, he was like, he didn't stop without the cigar and the smoke. This is before they knew anything about cancer or secondhand smoke. So, you know, 100, 150 years before that was even known. But it was just this, and this person kept on, you know, again and again and again, just he didn't let Rishol Salanter live the whole trip. Anyway, Rishol Salanter arrives at the destination of the train, and there's a, you know, tzaddik balair, like there's a big fanfare at the train station where Rishol Salanter is getting off, and this person like starts like saying to somebody, who's this for? Is it me? It's the guy, the rabbi next to you. He's like one of the biggest rabbis of the generation. And he looks at Rishala Salant and he's, oh my gosh, like, how did I do this? And he felt so bad. And he started, you know, really asking Mechila from Rishala Salant. He says, of course, no problem. And then they started schmoozing a little more. Rishala Salant said to him, what are you doing? What's your story? He says, I'm really trying to get a Kabbalah and Shechita, trying to be a Sheikhet, and I need like Smicha to be a Sheikhet. And it's very hard for me to learn the halachas. It's not going in. I need a parnas. I need to support my family. So Rishala Salant, I don't know if it was himself or he hooked it up, him up with like Talmud of his, and he taught him all of the halachas of Shechita, and then he tested him on, and he gave him, I think himself, a Ksav Kabbalah that he should be a Sheikhet. And the Talmud says that this is the greatness of Rishala Salant, that he mamish emulated HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives, repays good with bad, and so too, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter went out of his way that when somebody did bad to him, he actually repaid it with the ultimate good. Do you find this anywhere else, by the way? So this is what Avraham Avinu did, right? Avraham Avinu did just this. Avraham Avinu, when Sadaim was really, really bad to him, and they were the polar opposites of him, and their whole lifestyle was contrary to his. And Avraham Avinu had every right and every ability to not save them and to let them die and bury them, but instead he fought for them. He gave them back the ultimate good. He saved their life, even though they were so bad to him. That's a tremendous following of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tremendous following of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's interesting. Rabbi Goldberg on the bottom there asks that it's not real. The story about Rishala Salanter doesn't really match up with what the Talmud Devar says exactly. Why? Because the case of like the eyesight, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't necessarily do something extra good to the person. He just didn't take it away. The Rishala Salanter, you're saying that Rishala Salanter, by doing good, by going out of his way to be mative to that person, is following HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you see that? Where do you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually repays good even though you did something really bad to him? That we don't find. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter Goldberg has a whole thesis about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's say, if he wouldn't have given him, you know, it's true, it happens to be, he's just going with the Chazakah that he was able to see before and now he's still able to see, but still, it's like as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is renewing it every minute, so it's like he's giving him a brand new favor every second, and that's how he's being mative in spite of the fact that he was bad to him. I found, when I was being Mavir Sedra in Parashas Bereishis, a raya to this yisayid, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu really, in fact, does go out of his way to be mative to somebody who did something really bad to him. Not just continuing to give him what he had, but actually go out of his way to do good. Does anyone know what I might be referring to? What? Excellent. Whoa. After Adam and Chava sinned against him, they were murdered, they rebelled against him by eating the Eitz HaDas, the Eitz HaChaim, right? So, the Eitz HaDas Tevera. What happens? The next pasuk says, Vayas Hashem Elokim LaAdam UleIshtai, Kasnais Ar Vayal Bishem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes, he fashions for them, Kasnais Ar, leather garments. What does that have to do with anything? But you see from here, I think this is like a proof to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the Halachta B'Drachav. And by the way, what's the first case of Halachta B'Drachav that we know of in the Torah? This is the first case. The Gemara in Saita says that the Torah is Tchilas Gemilas Chasadim V'Sevi Gemilas Chasadim. It starts with Gemilas Chasadim and ends with Gemilas. The first Gemilas Chasad that you find in the Torah is this pasuk, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Malbish Arumim V'Yas Hashem La'adun L'Ishtet Kasnei Zov El'Bishem. So in other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did an act of Gemilas Chasad to Adam and Chava exactly when they least expected it, when they least deserved it. They sinned against him and he does good to them. That's the extent that we're supposed to go to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is something that we find Avraham Avinu perfected. And it's something that we have to think about a lot in our own personal lives, because it's the most difficult thing. But sometimes, you know, when you do this, it actually is the most cathartic, most healthy type of activity that you could do. Sometimes a person does something really bad to you, and it's hurtful, and it's really, not saying, you know, obviously we're not saying extreme cases of abuse and things like that. I'm talking about just, so a person wasn't as sensitive to you as they should have been, and they, I don't know, they went to pizza together, your two roommates, and they forgot to ask you to come, and you got upset about it. Now, when that happens to you, you have a choice to make. We have a choice to make. Either we could get really upset, and then they come back to the room, we're screaming at them, we're upset, and we like air all of our grievances and give them a whole laundry list of other things that they did. It's one way of doing it. But all you're going to do then is deeper entrench yourself in a machlekes. It's not going to end so quickly, it's not going to end well, and it's just going to get worse and worse. The smartest thing you could do, and this is mamash v'alachta b'drachav, is following Hashem's footsteps, is doing like Avraham Avinu. You go and you say, you know, what can I do for you? Like, you know, is there something I could do to help you? And they're going to be a little bit surprised because they're probably bracing for the worst when they get back to the room that you're really upset at them. But when you show that you're taking the high road and that you're actually, you know, you want to do something nice for them in spite of that, then that will be an amazing, first of all, it'll diffuse the problem before it starts. And also, it's going to like shock them. It's going to be, you're going to take, you know, what could have been a terrible situation, you make it amazing, and you look like a million bucks. You look like you're strong, like you're healthy, like you're confident. You don't let things affect you. And they'll be impressed, and you'll feel good, and it's a win-win. The only problem is it's very hard to do that, because at the end of the day, we're human, and we don't like being stepped on, and nobody does, and it's quite natural to be upset. But if you're able to not take it in, and instead to give back good, to pay back good for the bad that you have received, you get tremendous chusim, you get tremendous char. It's called what the Gemara calls hanel lovim veinim olvim. Sometimes people are berating you and you listen to them, you don't answer. But besides not answering, besides not retaliating, you're also able to actually smile and say nice things back and take the high road and be the better man. That's a tremendous chus. That's a tremendous midah. That's Avraham Avinu's midah. So when we're entering these parshiyos of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Chazal say a person's always supposed to ask himself, when is my deeds going to be able to reach the deeds of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? That's the point of these parshiyos. It's not just nice stories. It's supposed to be a mussar sefer, all these parshiyos, teaching us these are the perfect models for us to follow. If we could follow Avram's chesed and Yitzchak's gevura and Yaakov's din and Yaakov's emes and all the many midas, we'd be perfect people. And this is a major midah that we could work on, and it's a tremendous chus for us to work on this, to be able to, when people are by, it might be a relative, it might be a parent, it might be a friend, it might be a roommate, it might be a sibling, it might be anyone. And instead of giving it back in a bad way and festering, letting the machlokes fester, we end it, we cut it off in its tracks, and not only that, but we're mative to the other person. That is something that is... It's divine, and it's something that is following not only the Rebbeinu Shlomo's footsteps, but also in Avraham Avinu's.